You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
No, your ears do not deceive you. TFG and Mike has taken over all things Transformers. Yes, that's right. Steve is off playing with his rubber ducky or, I don't know, something Beast Wars Megatron would do. I am TFG and Mike, and in episode 33 of All Things Transformers version 2.0, I wanted to do something a little different, and I got the okay from Steve to do so, and last episode, in episode 32, a couple months ago, we had the annual TFCon pre-show that we do with Proto Man. You know, he gives us the skinny of what's going to go on at the convention, who the guests are, what it was like putting it together, and everything else. Well, this year, instead of doing three separate post-con shows, we're going to do one show, Transforming Convention Season. Joining me is Lady Rec. Hello.
Hello. It's good to be here.
How are you? Yes. Lady Rec is the mistress of the underbase.
Yes. Yes.
She cracks her whip over there all the time.
I'm the one that's pulling my hair out trying to edit everything. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's right. She has been on three episodes of our other podcast, The Pullbag, reviewing Robots in Disguise with myself and Ender.
It's been explosive.
It's gonna, yeah. Heads and limbs and guns, oh my.
And your ears are bleeding after 3 hours of podcasting, right?
Oh my god. Episode 31 and 32 combined is over 5 hours of podcasting. So
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm very sorry.
Lady Wreck is here. And what we're going to do in a few moments is I wanted to do something different. Lady Wreck went to all three major Transformers conventions.
I did the trifecta this year.
Yes. Yes, it was a good old triple play. She went to BotCon, TFCon, and Auto Assembly. BotCon is the U.S. brand Transformers convention.
TFCon is only official Hasbro.
Yes, only official. TFCon is the quote-unquote official Canadian Transformers convention. Yep. And Auto Assembly is over there where the Brits live.
Yep. It's the.
So there is that. Why don't you give the folks a little bit of background on yourself and what got you into Transformers?
Well, what got me into Transformers? Well, a lot of things got me into Transformers. The biggest thing being the 86 movie during that year, the series as well. I fell off the wagon for quite a few years. Got back on after the movies came, the U.S. Big screen movies came out, and I had two little boys at home, and I wanted to get back into some of the shows that I watched as a kid that I thought that they would enjoy. And I kind of got in for them, but also for myself. And then I got sucked into it completely. And now I'm podcasting and running a Transformers comic review of all the current stuff that's coming out now. And the fandom's been great. I've been sucked into that as well. So I'm here to stay, and I'm yours.
I'm sure those are words James Roberts wants to hear from you.
Oh, absolutely. He's number one fan. Boom.
Yeah.
There is an out, you know, there's a list out there of people of who are trying to be his number one fan. I'm one of them on the list. There's a crew of us that were like, oh, no, I am, no, I am. Yeah. We haven't gotten really, really violent yet.
Keyword there being yet.
Yeah, keyword being yet. I'm sure
Yes.
eventually one of these days, like now, we'll have an all-out war on Twitter somewhere and it'll be epic and it'll be,
Yes.
you know, it'll radiate through the fandom for years to come.
So before we get into your recaps of each of these conventions, what possessed you to want to attend three? Because these are all, you know, let's not kid ourselves, us as the hosts and listeners, each of these conventions is very exp it can be very expensive. So what, how did you getting to go to all three, how did that come about?
Well, I had heard about, you know, people doing the trifecta. It was like, oh, you're gonna do the trifecta? Yeah, and so I was like, oh, it's a brand now, right? But I had heard good things, and the thing is I honestly really wanted to see what the difference was between all three. They're the biggest ones that are out there, and I thought, well, dang, you know, I want to see how does each convention do their thing. How was it? How did I feel, you know, going to each one? Which one do I would I say is the one that seems to be like the total package and, you know, that type of thing. And so I thought, you know, not that I wanted to compare everything, but I'm a generally optimistic and positive person. So I thought, well, you know, if anybody's going to do it and do it in a way that seems to be fair to everybody, I think that I could be that person. And so I want to do it for the experience, but also just to see, you know, where it rates in my book and, you know, kind of put it out there. And so I'm kind of glad that you asked me on the show specifically for that so that I can, you know, put my opinion out there and put it on a podcast form where, you know, people are like, hey, you know, what do you really think about this? And so that
All
was
right.
kind of the thinking behind it. I mean, I didn't have somebody say, hey, go do this for us and we'll podcast.
Oh no.
No,
Yeah,
it was.
I knew from following you on Twitter and everything else when you were saying earlier in the year this year about, oh yay, I'm going to all three, and yeah, I mean, there's a difference in as a fan wanting to attend a convention and doing it for website coverage or online blog. There's a huge difference. I mean, you know, sure, you network, you talk to people, and you make new connections for, internet activity or,
Oh, yeah.
connectivity and all that. But there's a big difference in going to BotCon to have fun and have the experience, and going to BotCon with like six different cameras, 12 different
Oh,
microphones.
absolutely.
I mean, there's a huge difference in that. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going, I wasn't, it was just me as a fan going.
Yeah.
I did spend, well, and we'll get into that when we talk about each of the conventions. But the point of it being is that I, you know, I just had my husband makes pretty good money. Not like, I'm not saying that we're rich or anything like that, but I mean, we still have a budget. We still have things that we gotta plan for and stuff like that.
Right.
But I happened to be lucky enough to have this year made that trip at a reasonable expense. To go to all three, and I wanted to also, in addition to all that, meet people that I hadn't met, that I'd like only met on social media or have been following me on a podcast or on TF, not TFW, on RFC or even the Underbase, and I had yeah, so it was one of those things where I went as a fan to meet fans, to see the difference between the three, and just to have an overall good time. So,
Awesome.
yeah.
And we'll be back with BotCon coverage after this.
Woo! Hey, everybody, this is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
All right, so in this first part of episode 33, Miss Lady Rec is going to talk about BotCon, the official Transformers Collectors Convention. BotCon 2013 was held in San Diego, California. June 24th to 27th, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like
It
that.
was early in the season.
Yeah, pretty much. Guests include, off the top of my head, General Morshower.
Yeah. Huh? It was the 27th General... to the 30th,
yeah. Yeah.
Of June.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Guests off the top of my head without looking at BotCon's website included General Morshower from the movies, included the kid from the old commercials, mm-hmm. The entire cast of Rescue Bots.
Yes.
And a bunch of other people. So
yeah, but those were the main people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Walk us through from planning to actually being there. How did you go, like, what was your thought process in... Did you say that you wanted to do everything right, you know, not everything right away, but did you say you wanted to have the full-on convention experience of doing every single thing they had available to you, or...
No, I basically went on, like, when they finally announced when and where it was going to be, I happen to live in Arizona, so luckily for me, this year being in California, I thought, okay, I'll drive. And... At first, I was actually going to go in with a couple of friends and actually go into a suite, which in the past I've been to a couple other. This is like I think my third BotCon, and in the past, like I've known, like I had friends that had done this thing where they rented a hotel and they had like a couple of people in it and they had like two or three different rooms and right. And so I've been kind of cautious about that because I am a girl and there's a lot of guys that go to this but one of my friends everybody will know him, it's John Bailey, John 3.0. He and his wife were going to go, and so they reserved a room, or actually a suite, and they had a couple of rooms, and it ended up not working out, but I was going to actually stay with them and just like, you know, pay a share of it so that it wouldn't like, you know, it wasn't going to be free or anything. I was going to pitch in and all that. So we're splitting it up and all that. It turned out that it didn't work out, but luckily this is the first year where I was able to actually get into the hotel. So when he said that he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to go, I went ahead and reserved a room, and that's what I ended up doing. And he and his wife ended up not being able to go to BotCon. So I was kind of sad, and they were kind of sad, and everybody was sad, but it all worked out. So I got in, which is the first time in the 3 years that I've been that I was actually able to get into the hotel, because in the past, because they announce it so late, and because they don't really give a lot of notice, you know, they tease it on their Twitter, and you know, everybody's waiting for weeks on end to get into the show. This was the first year where I did not have a problem getting a hotel room at the hotel. So I was pretty happy with that, because sometimes it's kind of hard to get in with the hotel there. And I've kind of run into some frustration in the past. Now, I don't know if that's just because they put it up and like it sells out so quickly. I don't know why it does. And I've heard some theories on what it is, and I'm not going to, you know, hypothesize what it is. It's just, it's a frustration. It is something that will keep, I think, some fans from going, because it is hard to get into the hotel, especially if you're coming from a distance. Now, I've done, you know, three different conventions, and I'd say by far coming from a long distance, being able to actually stay at the hotel where the convention is actually being held is a real big draw. And that's definitely not working in BotCon's favor, the fact that it sells out like that. And that, so, I mean, it was really, really glad that they had it on such a huge location this year. And that was really, really good for them. I did drive. I wasn't planning on flying, because I thought, hey, yes, it's a 6-hour drive for me, which, you know, that's nothing. I just pop in an audiobook and I'm on my way. I can make that in an evening. You know, husband comes home from work, say, hey, love you, you know, say goodbye to the kids, and I'm off on my way. I can be there before it gets too late and too, you know, ridiculous. So that's what I did this year, and that was never a question. I was going to drive from the get go. I did try to put my connections out there a little bit and ask anybody that was local here in Phoenix that wanted to go, if they wanted to carpool, and it, you know, no one really did go. So I think a few people might have carpooled, but they didn't carpool with me, which is fine. There is a huge TF W2005 forum group here. We are very active. There are quite a few, and I know even more of them now because I went to BotCon this year and I met up with a whole other group of people that I hadn't connected with here. So I'm really amazed at how big of a following there is here in Phoenix. So hopefully maybe one year they might consider coming to Phoenix, bring the BotCon crew here. That would be great. I'd love that. But if they're in California, I'm planning on probably continuing to drive there. Now, if it goes distance wise somewhere else, I'm not sure if I will, but at least for this year, I think after this last year, I think I've gotten the full BotCon experience. Now, planning, I wasn't planning on doing like crazy business and going to every little thing that they have. I definitely had some things that I definitely wanted to go to. I wanted to go to all the IDW panels because I kind of follow that for my own podcast. Yeah. And I love all the IDW guys. They're just great. And I love hanging out with them. I love, you know, just hearing what they have to say. I love talking with them about comics. And so it's not even just comics, but just as people, they're so approachable. It's great. Let's see what else. I knew that this year was going to be very, Rescue Bots centric because all of the cast was there as guests. I looked to see what artists were going to be in Artist Alley. They had a lot of artists this year in Artist Alley. So in that, they really just kind of hit a really good vein of a lot of the artists still had to pay to come, but there were a lot attending this year. And so I definitely wanted to hit as many of the artists and Artist Alley, not hit them in the face.
Yes.
But maybe, you know, let them hit my wallet. Yeah. And buy some stuff and you know, go and talk to them and get some commissions and, you know, buy stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much the planning that went into it, is that I just, I wanted to get some of the artists and, you know, see some of the panels and, hey, even meet some Rescue Bots people. So that was kind of fun. Yeah.
Now, did you hang out with Callie at all for the Puggles?
I did, actually. I didn't, like, you know, go and knock on her door and stalk her or anything.
No, I mean, like, when she was in Artist Alley.
Oh,
when
yes,
she was
absolutely.
Down the floor.
The first day, she was tweeting out there, so I knew she was there. And I came over and actually helped her set up her table. It was great. And I bought a Puggle, of course. I didn't get there the first day, though, because, like, I could help her set up, but then I had to leave because I wasn't, like, officially there with her. But she got swarmed. Like, when the first 2 hours, like, her stuff goes out.
Yeah.
But I did get a first no, I didn't get a first aid. It was a red alert. I got red alert. More than UCI red alert. I was like, yeah! So, yes, with her table, it's definitely a must. You have to hit hers first. They had her at the first Artist Alley table that you came right in the door, and she was, like, right there, and she sold out so fast. It was like, dang, man, you're in big supply, big demand here.
Yeah. I saw a couple of the pictures that she had tweeted out with the line. And wow, that line is crazy.
The line early in the day. You have to hit her table first. Part of it is the fact that they put her right at the door. And it's like you're right at the door. It means you're going to get hit first and you are going to sell out. She sold stuff really fast.
Yeah. I think that first day she was sold out in like an hour and a half or less.
Yeah, something like that. She did hold back, like, you know, she.
Oh yeah, no. She held back for, you know, she brought out like 60 the first day, 60 the second day. You know, she brought them out in little
waves. They came
increments.
Out of waves.
Yeah. But yeah, that's crazy. The other thing that I believe you were thinking about this, or at least wanting to do, but you didn't get to do. And I wish somebody I knew got to do it so I could see video of it or whatever else, was that tour of IDW. Oh my God. I would have just,
actually. I didn't do the big tour like with the group. That was very costly. It was.
Yeah, no, that's like, what I mean. You didn't insane. Do it. I said, I wish I knew of someone who did do it so I could see video.
I did get a chance to go after the fact.
Yeah.
It was just one-on-one, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't do the whole thing where I got to sit and, you know, talk with all the artists and eat lunch and all of that stuff. I did contact I went to the IDW booth, and one of the guys said, hey, just come on over this night or this morning and we'll have you take a look around. It's not a big business. It's like,
well, no, but
the extra perk that they were doing was the fact that all of the artists were going to be there and all of the writers, and then the CEO was going to be there as well. And they made a big to do out of it. And when I got there, I think it was like Monday morning as when I went, it was after the convention was over with and everybody's kind of getting back to work as it were. They still had the sign up that there was a sign outside the IDW studio that said, you know, welcome guests, BotCon guests or whatever. It was cute. It was fun. And I got the really fast tour. Let's just say that. So I got to see basically everything that they did, but I didn't get to meet all the people and all that stuff. And I didn't get any of the goodies or anything like that. I got a chance to sit and just chat with John for a few minutes. And he, you know, showed me around the offices and where everything gets done. And then later on that afternoon, I was able to go to their storage facility where they like bring all of the comics in and send all of them out, and where IDW Limited kind of has their HQ and how they put all of their stuff together. And it was really interesting to see that, because all of the stuff that the IDW Limited does is all hand done. Like, they get all of the stuff shipped to them separately, and then they have to hand put all of the, if they got like art prints that go into the sleeve that have the box and the books and everything together, they hand put that together. And so they make sure that everything is like undamaged, that everything is done correctly, that they're all in there and that it's folded correctly. They even, like, one of the guys, they wear gloves because they don't want to put fingerprints on the books as they're putting them into the sleeves and everything. So getting to see what they do with that, it was kind of cool. And then, of course, sometimes in shipping, like when they order some of this stuff, they get it sent to them. And before they put it together, they open the box up and inspect it. And sometimes some stuff comes damaged. So they had like a whole section of stuff that had come that somebody had dropped the box and had dented a whole bunch of books. And so they couldn't sell them because they had been dented in, because this is a premium price that they sell things for. And so to see like a whole stack of books there that were like basically dented and they couldn't do it, is like, it's a cost to the company that they can't get back. So I was like, oh man. But I think eventually they do find a way, like they find a way to offload them in one way or another. But they can't really get the cost back that they spent for it. So it's like, oh my gosh, it really sucks when that happens. But sometimes that can account for some of the delays. I mean, they might not talk about like all of the delays that come out, but yeah, when they have these big orders of things that are just that expensive, you know, it that can play a factor in when things come out. So but yeah, it was a great experience. I enjoyed going out and hanging out at the IDW offices and just, you know, getting a chance to see that, even though it wasn't with the big group. But yeah, I didn't know anybody either that went to that either. So.
Yeah. So who else, what celebrities did you want to see when you were there?
For me, celebrities are a little bit different than other people's celebrities. My celebrities, of course, are all of the IDW people and the artists. So I wanted to see all of those guys, especially people that I'd never met before. Like Alex Milne. This was the first time I met Alex Milne. The first time I met Marigrid. Let's see, who else? There's a lot of people there. The first time I officially met... who else did I officially meet? I met Robbie Rousseau. My brain is spinning right now because it's been a couple months since I was there. Let's see. Oh, I know I'm going to miss some, but Josh Burcham. I had never met Josh Burcham before, so that was cool. And then I saw guys that I met already like last year that I've already got like, you know, good talking with them all the time. Anytime I see them, it's like, oh, it's seeing my buddies again, right? I got to see Andrew Griffith, Livio Remondelli, Casey Collar. I mean, just like everybody else that was there that I hadn't met for a while. Oh, and I met Joanna LaFuente for the first time too. So that was fantastic. She was fun and it was exciting just to meet the people that are like really long distance that I've never seen before. So there's that. I did get to meet a few people that I didn't expect. With I went to the panels for the Rescue Bots characters and all that, and they were fantastic to see the energy that just bounces between the character, like the people that play the characters, basically. But one of the people that has been following the Rescue Center that I've been doing with Nicole Hailstorm in the fandom, one of our fans happens to be one of the writers that's on the show, and her name is
so cool.
Nicole Dubac, and so I got a chance to meet her too. And the fun thing about this is that I don't know how she knew about this, but she wanted to get one of my Rock and Roll shirts. So one of the other ladies that works with her, I don't even know who she was because I don't even remember what her name was, she said, I want to buy a shirt for Nicole. I was like, oh cool, that's awesome. She's like, and so I didn't have the shirts on me right then, but she said, come back tomorrow and I'd like to buy one for her. And so one of my Rock and Roll shirts got bought by her, and then when she got one, I think two other people bought one too. So there might be some people that work on the cast of Rescue Bots that own my shirts.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love them. They're great. And I feel bad because I haven't gotten back to reviewing Rescue Center because it's been really, really crazy busy, and Nicole's gotten in her accident and whatnot. So it's been challenging, and I've just been too busy to push in another podcast. So I'll get to it as I can get to it, but it was a blast. I did not expect that, and it was really good to have that happen. I like little happy accidents like that. So
yeah. Now, are you one of those people that has to go to the dealer room?
No, not necessarily. I did spend time, of course, in the dealer room because Artist Alley and the dealer floor was in the same room. I spent quite a bit of time in the Artist Alley. I'd say most of my time in Artist Alley. But I did walk around the floor. I did go into a couple other places, but I usually don't go there to find toys. And so I usually don't make too many rounds outside of, I mean, I went to the IDW booth a lot. I checked out what they had in the way of shirts and stuff, because I always like, you know, adding to my shirt collection as well. Not just, you know, providing another collector's item for people who might want a shirt. So I did go around the dealer room, and there were some really cool people there. And I did actually, because I know this is the first year that we've had Big Bad Toy Store for a while. I went and said hi to a few of those guys and asked them about their time there. And, you know, they were really great, and they were completely approachable, and you asked them questions and stuff like that. I said, yeah, because I said that I was there from RFC, that I wanted to just see how they were doing and how their sales were, just because I knew that this was the first year in a while. And they said that they actually did pretty good. I don't know if they were like, you know, they were trying to quote me stuff, but,
Yeah,
but it was good. They were completely approachable, and they were very professional about it. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Now, what panels did you go to see? Were there any panels that were scheduled that conflicted with something else that you wanted to see? Was there any of the hard choices you had to make?
Not really, because they didn't have multiple panels on at the same time. They only had one panel room that had stuff. So I did go to everything that I'm trying to think now what ones I did go to and what ones I skipped. I didn't go to the third party one where they talked about all the third party stuff, but I did go to the official Transformers one where they had like, you know, all the stuff that Hasbro's putting out. I went to all of the IDW panels.
How many were there?
There were two, actually. There was one that was on the publishing side, and then one that was actually just for IDW comics. And they talked about like Dark Cybertron, and they teased things and stuff like that. Both were great. They, you know, two different things that, you know, Hasbro Publishing, they covered all of the extra little tidbits of stuff that's coming out, like the transformable book. I know I'm saying this wrong because it's not necessarily that's not what they called it. They called it something else. I can't remember what it's called. They also talked about the Covenant of Primus, the book that's coming, the Retribution, Transformers Retribution, which is the third in the series of Exodus. Exiles. They talked about all of the publishing side of things that they were doing that IDW may have had a hand or may not have had a hand in, but it's all the stuff besides the comics. And then of course the comics, they talked about More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise. They teased Dark Cybertron. They talked about Monstrosity. They talked about regeneration, so just kind of across the board. And then they also spent a little bit of time talking with some of the artists that were there as well. Now, before the BotCon actually kicked off, I was approached by Levio, and he asked if I'd be interested in maybe doing just a creator panel, and asked me if I'd like to host that, to moderate it. And I said, sure, you bet. So I came with the plan because he said he was going to contact the people that ran BotCon and see if there was space for it. And it turned out that it didn't work out. But I planned like a whole panel discussion. I planned on like introducing and talking, you know, the creators and just about them. And I had that whole all planned, but, you know, so they didn't do it. But, which was fine. I mean, I'm not like, you know, oh, I'm really hurt that they didn't do it. It's like, nah, it happens like that. Sometimes you just kind of come prepared and see where it goes. And that's what I did. I had a whole thing prepared for it and it didn't work out. So I was all right with that. That would have been my first time ever hosting a panel. So I probably would have freaked out anyhow, but it would have all turned out, of course. But, you know, I was prepared either way. But John actually, because they were having, I think, a few little technical difficulties just before the IDW panel took off. So for like about 15, 20 minutes, he kind of held it together with something similar to probably what I would have done for a whole hour. Because he's an expert like that because he does this. He's has to deal with PR all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure that it was no problem whatsoever kind of throwing it out there, getting it together. And hey, you know, well, while we're waiting, let's talk to some of the creators. So that was fun. But yeah,
that was awesome.
I got to as many panels as I could. I tweeted about as many stuff as I could. Yeah, it was fun. It was good.
Awesome. What was the BotCon nightlife like?
It was sorely lacking, to be honest.
Really?
It wasn't like
no certain creators on drunk on mechanical bulls or anything like that.
Oh no, that was stuff that happened, you know, with the Transformers Prime had kicked off and Mayor Good tweeted about that. That was fantastic. I loved it. No, the thing is with my nightlife was actually a blast, but a BotCon as a convention providing a whole lot of nightlife, it was okay. I wouldn't say that it was like the best, but the biggest problem was that, okay, after going to three different conventions and having been going to conventions for the last, you know, 3 years, the biggest thing that I think that fans enjoy at a convention is hanging out in the bar and just chatting and drinking and having a good time just hanging out. BotCon does try to make it like a family thing. They had like the movie on the lawn, which I didn't go to because I was with other people. And then they also have casino night. And casino night is great if you are one of those fans that happen to decide that you're going to get the box set this year, if you're not a box set attendee, you don't get to go to Casino Night, because that's for full weekend passes who have bought the box set.
Right.
This is the year that I decided to go as a mini con, which there have been some people out there that have said the mini cons are like not even human. That's the way that they're kind of treated at BotCon. And I have to say, I kind of agree with that assessment. The good thing about it is, though, that I was able to attend Casino Night, because that is kind of in the mini cons repertoire of what they're able to do. In terms of buying stuff at the store, though, it was kind of limited for the mini con, and that's where it's kind of frustrating, because the general public gets to have more perks than even the mini con does in some ways because of that. But I still had fun. Like I said, they had the movie on the lawn, and they had the casino night. The real kind of downer is that the bar there closed. They had a bar that was right there on the hotel grounds, and it was a very good size. In the past, there have been smaller bars, and so it hasn't been nearly as enjoyable. But and this is the problem that happens quite a bit when you go to BotCon, is the fact that the bar usually ends and closes up very early compared to where the bar ends at other conventions. Now, I mean, I don't know how late bars usually open and stay open till, but at other conventions, usually it's open really, really late, because fans are there hanging out, and hey, you know, they're making money. If they're, you know, if you're at the bar, you're more likely going to be buying a couple of beers, and that's money in the bar's pocket. But at BotCon this year, it closed at, they had the last call for alcohol at 11:30, and by midnight they were closed up. And by 12:30, we had, hotel security asking people to leave and go to their hotel rooms because they were keeping people up, which is understandable. But here's the thing, is that they have a hall. We could have gone into the bar, but because it closed, we didn't have that. And the one thing that I've kind of noticed, and this is the biggest thing that I think really is the tipping point for BotCon, is the fact that at other conventions, fans, adult fans, really spend their whole year, you know, working toward hanging out with their friends. And then when the bar closes at midnight, it's kind of the deal breaker. I think a lot of the criticism, I think if that's just the one thing that I could say that BotCon would change, I think they would notice after a couple of conventions of allowing that and making it available for adult fans, that the criticism might die down a little bit, that people would be all right with it more than they have in the past, because getting a chance after waiting a year to go to a convention where you know all your friends are going to be at, where you're going to buy toys, where you're going to get to hang out and listen to panels of voice actors or what other people that BotCon arranges to have for panelists. I think after a year of planning for that and then not being able to hang out on the campus where their convention is happening and being able to hang out with their friends, I mean, it's just that added touch, I think, that BotCon is lacking. Because, I mean, you know, if I was coming from a distance, when I went to TFCon and Auto Assembly this year, I didn't rent a car. I flew as close to the convention as I possibly could. I came to the hotel. I stayed pretty much at the hotel the whole time. Having a bar right there is kind of the best thing ever, because it's right there. I don't have to pay for a taxi to go somewhere else. And in that, you are incredibly limited. Friends, not all friends are going to be able to fit into one car and go to a bar. Having fans from different forums all meet up at the same bar is kind of helpful if you are on every single forum. Yes. And you want to hang out with your different groups of people that you haven't seen for a year or have been talking to for a year. So it's just one of those little things. And I think if there was anything that I could suggest to BotCon that would change, that would make a big change really quick, I think that would be the tipping point right there. Mm-hmm. Personally, I was hanging out with friends that were artists that happened to work for IDW. And so I was hanging out with IDW people. I was going and hanging out at, like, I went to dinner with Andrew Griffith and Levio, a few other people, like, you know, John Barber might have been there.
Might have been there? You don't remember?
No, he was there. I'm just teasing a little bit. No, I got a chance to go out to dinner a couple of times where there were IDW people there. I also got a chance to go karaoke with Chris Mowry and Andrew Griffith. And that was a blast. I mean, I really had a blast because I got a chance to hang out with some of the people that I've talked with over the last year or have been following their comics or, you know, whatever. That was the best. And it had nothing to do with BotCon, unfortunately. BotCon was just the meeting place. It was the vehicle for us getting together. But, you know, that wasn't BotCon's doing for that. So I did have a blast in the evenings, but it wasn't because of BotCon.
Yeah.
When I finished some of that stuff up, then I'd go, you know, when I get back to the hotel location, then of course I went to the bar. And at that point, I got a good hour in before everybody had to call it a night because it was the end of the bar, basically. So
it sounds like BotCon is, you know, a 70-year-old man living in Florida. Okay, it's 4:30. I'm going to bed.
It kind of does seem like that. I mean, casino night is fun. It is fun to sit down and play games and hang out with your friends. And of course, like, you know, if you want to do the whole thing and get all dressed up for casino night and stuff like that, you can do that too. And then luckily for me this year, I got a chance to I ran into Wally Burr. And after the casino night, because you win credits or whatever, you know, fake money. And then they have a little auction afterwards. And so you get to auction. Some people will go in and they'll combine all of their stuff to be able to get some toy or whatever. But it's all for charity. You can mm-hmm. buy more stuff if you want. And that goes to charity. But afterwards, when they had the auction, Wally Burr was just walking around and he was going to go to the auction. And I sat down, I ran into him and started talking to him. And that was fun because I was like, I know people that have tried their whole lives to get in touch with Wally Burr. So I was like, I'm going to sit down and say hi to this guy. This is great. And he was charming. He was awesome. It's one of the highlights of my summer was getting a chance to just hang out and be in the presence of somebody great. It was great. Oh, it was fantastic. But yeah, that was fun. That was a blast. So.
All right. After this, we're going to come back and Amy's going to talk about TFCon.
Woo-hoo. Me Grimlock, not podcaster. Me Grimlock King.
All right. So after Amy wrapped up her BotCon travels, she headed north to Canada.
Canada, huh?
Yeah. That's right.
Canada. Yes, Canada.
Yes. She went to TFCon Toronto, which is Canada's largest fan-run Transformers convention.
Did.
This was your first time going to TFCon, right?
It was. Luckily for me, like I said, all of my experience does like make it that much more awesome because I know a lot of the artists. So mm-hmm. when I went there, I previously arranged with Alex Milne. He picked me up and took me to the hotel, which I flew in to the U.S. side. And so I didn't go the whole way to Canada into Toronto because it's like an extra $300 to $400 just to fly that extra little distance over the border. And so I was like, I'm cheap. I don't think most fans would like to, you know, go to a convention at the cheapest they possibly can. So I did go. I he picked me up and I went across the border with him and his fiance, and he dropped me off at the hotel, and it was great. I did spend time there with him, and so it was cool. And so, yeah, I got a chance to go to TFCon. When I was at BotCon, actually, I ran into the guy that runs TFCon. Now, I don't remember his name. I can picture his face, but and I'm sure there are people out there that know him better than I do. But
it's either Super Megatron or Proto Man.
No, it wasn't Daniel or Proto Man. Yeah, I know Proto Man. This is the other guy. He's taller and he's skinnier. And
oh, Colin?
Probably. That sounds familiar. But yeah, he was there at BotCon, and he happened to say, "Hey, you should come to TFCon." And I was like, "I am actually planning on going to TFCon this year." So it was good to run into him there, of course, because, you know, it was his convention. He was running it. I ran into him after the show had started and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was another question?
How would, like, your whole process for TFCon?
Okay, so I got there. I checked in. You know, I knew a few people that I knew were going to be there, but I really wasn't sure. I know of a few people that I follow on Twitter that go there. My whole idea for going to TFCon was to meet some of the fans that I've never met before, and some of the fans that I've never met before, and then some of the fans that may have heard me, but I haven't, you know, definitely I haven't met them. And so that's why I went and pretty much stayed at the hotel the whole time. I didn't like go out and tour too much around, just driving with Alex and his fiance. I got a chance to see a little bit of Toronto, and cause we stopped by a store and picked up a few things. So it was, you know, on the way. And the hotel was great. It was very accommodating. I really, really liked the hotel that they have TFCon at. The interesting thing that I found when I went from going to BotCon then to a fan run convention is that they've been having the same convention at the same hotels for the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
TFCon seems to be having had their convention at the same hotel for quite a few years. The hotel staff are kind of at the point where it seems like they've got this really great working relationship with TFCon, because they were very warm and welcoming, and the bar staff were just incredible. I mean, like, some people would say that, you know, there were four ladies there and a guy behind the bar that were running it. And there were some delays with the food, which was understandable when you've got that many fans at the bar. Yeah. There's going to be some delays and some mix-ups and stuff like that. And there were some of those. But they were so incredibly cheerful. The ladies continued to have lots of energy. They did their best to be very accommodating. And, like, the last day, just before, I think that day I was getting ready to leave, or actually I was the night just before, the main lady that was kind of running the whole weekend convention, I went up to her and, you know, of course complimented her, because I knew how much work that they had gone into that. And, you know, having that many fans around to have to cater to it's a lot of work. I expected that it would be a lot of work. I could see that it was a lot of work for them. And I wasn't, like, you know, trying to make it worse for them, but I noticed, and they were doing the best that they could do with the situation. And I told her afterwards, I said, you know, "Hey, thanks. It was great to meet you. And you guys did a great job. I don't know if anybody ever said anything to you or said that, but I thought I'd say it." And she was like, "Oh, you're so sweet." And then she asked me, "Are you coming back next year?" And it just struck me when she said that, oh my gosh, she does this every year, and she's expecting to do it again next year. And that was a huge kudos points to me at the TFCon, like, convention, the hotel staff. I thought, wow, now that is really cool that you have it at the same hotel every year. The staff are planning for you to be there again next year, and they're expecting you to come back next year. And I really, really like that little extra to that convention because of that. It was like, well, now that's cool. That is really, really cool. That really impressed me. And that's maybe not something that anybody that goes to TFCon has ever mentioned, but the hotel, you know, that's a really good working relationship there that they have. If the staff is saying, hey, you're going to be back next year. This is great. The hotel was great. It was just awesome. So yeah.
Awesome. What panels or what activities were you planning on attending for TFCon?
Well, the one thing that I definitely wanted to hit, because Evangelis, who also went to BotCon this year, kind of teased it. He said, you have to join the faction feud. So I was like, okay, what is this? It's basically Family Feud, except with a Transformers theme called Faction Feud. And it was hosted by Mr. Evangelis, and it was fantastic. I did not know what I was getting myself into. He said, basically, you just come. If you don't have a group that you want to, like, you know, go and do the game with, then you can just sign up. And so I went and signed up. I didn't even know the people that were on my team. But we had a blast, and we got second place.
Oh, sweet.
I didn't know any of the toy questions because they were really heavy with the toy questions, and it flew over my head. I guessed on a few things and I got it right, thankfully. But you know, it was really good. I had a blast doing it, and I highly recommend anybody that goes to TFCon, go and join the Faction Feud. Even if you don't have a team, it's okay, because there are other people there that go that don't have teams either, and you can meet new people that way. The guy that was our kind of our captain, he's, you know, following me on Facebook, and I followed him back, and I've been in touch with him a couple times since then. It was really cool to do that. So the cosplayers there were fantastic. Actually, I have to say the cosplayers at every convention this year were great, because there was a really awesome Cyclonus at BotCon this year that was just like, whoa, that's more than meets the eye, Cyclonus. And I actually met the girl that did that costume afterwards, because I didn't realize it was her. Just this last, I think, August, I went to go see, what was it? Pacific Rim. And she was there with one of the other TFCon ladies that I met at TFCon that now I'm like, oh, there's a big following from the Phoenix area. But we met up afterwards and went in August. I think it was in August, and or maybe it was July. It was after the convention, and whenever Pacific Rim came out, the opening weekend of that, and I met her and I was like, oh, so you're the girl that did the Cyclonus cosplay. And she's like, yes, I did that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I took pictures of you and I had no idea. But yeah, the TFCon group, they had cosplayers that were pretty amazing. They had a lady there, a girl that was Rodimus from More Than Meets the Eye, and she made Rodimus stars. And so I got a Rodimus star from Rodimus. Yay! And if you're reading the comics, you'll know what that is. But if you're not, you'll be like, I don't get it. Oh, it's fun. Good times. And Auto Assembly, they had some really good cosplayers too. So this was my first year actually at Auto Assembly where I did cosplaying. I didn't really go in and see the actual panel where they had like all of the cosplayers get up. It was just me walking past and seeing who the cosplayers were at TFCon this year. But they were all the ones that I did see. I was pretty impressed with them. And then like with TFCon, what they do is they have the 2-day convention, right? Saturday is the Transformers convention, and then Sunday they open it up for all kind of Transformers and all toys and all comic books, and for like so it turns into basically a geek convention. You know, you would get at any regular Comic-Con. And so that's what we did on that day. So on that day, all of the Stormtroopers came out, and they had a really good Darth Vader. It was like, Transformers are being invaded by the Stormtroopers. It was great. I had a blast. That was fun to see those guys just kind of tromping around going, whoa, wow, okay. So suddenly, you know, this is, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. It was great. there were a few of the artists there that also did the trifecta this year. I think Livio, Remondelli, Alex Milne, and I want to say there was – oh, and I think Andrew Griffith. All three of those artists did the trifecta this year as well. Oh, I take that back. Livio didn't because he wasn't at Auto Assembly this year. Okay, my bad. Livio wasn't there. But he was there last year. Oh, my goodness. This is what happens when you start going to conventions. The years start blending together.
Yep. It's like, wait, did that happen at this or this one?
No. Oh, goodness.
Overall, what was your overall experience for TFCon?
Overall experience for TFCon, I had a blast. I've had a few people ask me, so which would you go for out of the fan conventions, TFCon or Auto Assembly? And sadly, I would say Auto Assembly still, but only because I know more people there than at TFCon, and I've gone there for the last 3 years. This was my first TFCon convention, and I remember, of course, my first Auto Assembly, which was a blast, too. So I did have a blast. I got to meet people that I had never met before. They did their first karaoke night this year, which was a blast. Oh, my gosh. It was like they did the first year at Auto Assembly having the first year that I went to Auto Assembly, they also had karaoke, and they've had it ever since, too. But I guess for this year, it was a total win because everybody was, like, into it, and it went, like, full speed ahead for, like, 2-3 solid hours before it started filtering out and people started, you know, losing interest. It was really great. They did a great job with it. Everybody was having a blast. I tried the poutine, and I had fun with that. I loved it. I had it every night after that because I liked it. And I can't wait to go back to have more. Let's see what else. They did the two voice actors that they had there. They had Jack Angel and Dick Gauthier.
Yeah, Dick Gauthier. Yeah.
Yeah, Alter Magnus and Rodimus. And I had fun, and they also had, let's see who else they had. They had Venus, who played Black Arachnia. Let's see who else. I know I'm missing somebody. There was another person. I don't remember who. I did get signatures from all of them. Some of them weren't necessary signatures for myself. I got Jack Angel. I got Dick Gauthier. I didn't get Venus. Because that was not that I didn't like her. I think she was great. She still sounded like they did a panel. You know, at BotCon they do the same thing where they have the script reading. They have it at fan conventions as well. It might be written by different people, but they do pull in the voice actors for that. And she was great. She was right on par. Like all of them were. They were all great. The best thing about Jack and Dick were the fact that when I went down and got signatures from them, I got pictures with them. And Jack is such a sweetheart. He had to give me a hug, and that was so great. I loved him. He's so wonderful. The thing is that, like, the scary thing, I guess, you think about, these guys are like the guys that voiced the characters from way back when. And so seeing them getting more and more aged every year is kind of like, oh, it's like seeing, you know, people that you really love, you know, getting older, and you're like, you get a little worried for them because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, they're not going to be with us forever. And, you know, because they're like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, you recognize them and you know who they are, and you're like, oh, you know, you hope the best for them. But seeing them, you know, Jack was still just as spry as ever. And I did see him a couple times, like once in the bar. So I was like, oh, that's great. I didn't see Dick, though, because they did wheel him in a wheelchair. So I'm sure at the evening hours are probably like, nah, I'm getting too old for this.
The other one was Marilyn Lightstone, who was the voice of Crasher and Pathfinder. And
I never really saw those shows. I remember seeing it a little bit, but they didn't connect with me like Transformers did. So. So I didn't get anything from her, but she did great when they had the panel or the script reading. It sounded what I remember hearing of her, so her voice is carried over very well. So, but yeah, TFCon as an experience was really great. I highly recommend Definitely going to a fan convention. People are so much more approachable. Though that's one thing I really, really liked about going, the difference between, if you wanted to compare between a fan-run convention and the Hasbro official one, is the fact that you will probably get a chance to hang out in the bar and see a voice actor hanging out there. They're approachable. They try to, at BotCon, they keep this big, wide girth between you and the voice actors. But it seems like at fan-run conventions, they want you to have an opportunity to be able to go up and say hi to these guys and shake their hand and you know, ask them how they're doing and actually just be around them as human beings rather than just, oh, you're a celebrity and we need to only get your signature and get you out of line as soon as possible because there's like 5 billion other people in line too.
Yeah.
The lines were not nearly as huge as they were at BotCon. Not that they were really big this year either, because it seemed like that it was a smaller BotCon this year. And maybe Rescue Bots is not that much of a draw for people. I don't know. For me, it was. I was like, hey, Rescue Bots is fun. I've been reviewing it. It's great. My kids love it, and I love the people, the love the people that play the actors, because they're just pouring with personality. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of have to have that with a kids show, because there has to be that much energy to make it that cute and adorable. And, you know, you want to just go up there and give them a big hug. It's great. But TFCon, I really did like it. As a weekend pass person, I got a chance to get in line to get signatures before the general population got a chance to do that. So that was very helpful to get through the lines really quick. And they weren't really that bad, to be honest. I've been in longer lines at BotCon.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it was all right if I, you know, said hi to the voice actors a little bit. I know that I've had some people, and I've never really done the BotCon lines because I've been told, oh, they're really long, or the times that I have tried to get in, they've gotten cut off right in front of me. And that's frustrating, because if you're going to stand in line, you're going to go to a convention where there's going to be a voice actor, you don't want to have to pay to get a signature from them. You want to be able to get in line and get to go see them. And when they have cutoffs, it's kind of frustrating, because people will, you know, get in line way in advance, or they're just lingering outside because all they are there for is just to get a signature. And if I'm going to drive from a distance or fly from a distance, I'm going to want to do that, but I want to have a complete experience, not just go, oh, I'm only going to get a signature from Peter Cullen.
Yeah,
the only thing they went to go do is, I've had people say that. It's like, I've only went here just to get a signature from Peter Cullen. So they hung out the whole time.
I know we're talking about TFCon now, but I should have brought this up earlier, yeah. But the problem with BotCon and the whole celebrity thing, who can get an autograph from Peter Cullen nowadays? Because they cap the line, or they make it a lotto, or they make it a raffle.
And,
you know,
I get it. He's a very... He's the prominent face. Everybody wants to get a signature from Peter Cullen. The good thing about having that is that for that year, first year that I went, they had Transformers Prime. They did a script reading of one of the panels, or one of the panels, of one of the shows. And they had pretty much the whole cast in front of the whole audience. That was gold for me.
Yeah.
That was gold. It was so much fun to actually see them in action. And to be in the same room with Peter Cullen was just like, instant, you know, ambrosia right there.
Yeah.
And you know, because I've never met the guy. I'm probably just that fangirl that would sit in the back just going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, right? And that pretty much was me. But I was sitting like second row. I was like within, you know, jumping distance of being in his presence. It was great. but just to see that was a good moment. That was really cool. And I'm really glad that BotCon was able to do that. And you could only be able to do that in California, because they won't be able to do that, you know, in halfway across the country, because they're not gonna, as much as Hasbro is really awesome because they make the toys, and you know, they still have a business to run, and they don't have, they're not made of money, and they can't just fly all of these guys, cast members and all, you know, anywhere in the world just for a convention.
Yeah.
If they're going to do it, it's going to be in California. And that is the biggest perk. That is the biggest draw for BotCon for me, is knowing that when they have it in California, it's very likely that we could have a surprise of a whole cast being up in front of an audience doing a reading of one of the animated shows, if that happens to be out that year. Now, you know, Transformers Prime is over with, so I don't expect it to happen again next year. But that was a really great moment when they did that, and I really... You know,
When you say the whole cast, you mean
cast,
the ones that were attending, not the entire cast of the show.
Well, they pretty much had everybody there except the lady that plays RC. There were just like two or three of the cast that weren't there. They had Ratchet, voice of Ratchet, Jeffrey Combs. They had Soundwave. That's right. They also didn't have Megatron, because I don't think...
I was going to say, I was trying to tiptoe around that, because Frank doesn't do
any conventions, from what I understand. No, Frank wasn't there. The lady that did RC wasn't there. There was just like maybe one or two, maybe three that weren't there. Yeah. Everybody else was. And that's almost a complete cast.
Well,
that
was
kind of cool. That was kind of cool. Here's the other thing that I kind of wish that BotCon would do. If you know that the situation is going to be like that, where you're going to have a cast of people that are going to be there, you know, I would be willing, if they decided, if you're going to be one of those people, one of those fans that's going to go and get signatures from Peter Cullen or whatever, and you know that you're going to cap the line, would it not be something that you can ask ahead of time to see if he can sign like some prints ahead of time and like have those for sale in the store? Like maybe over like 200, 300. I don't know what's reasonable, but work something out. So it's like, if you're going to get a signature from Peter Cullen, great. Here, you know, go and actually get a physical one from him right here. Here's your line. If you're not going to get into the line because you know that it's way too long, or we've got it capped off or whatever, would it not be something that you could actually sell? They would make money off of it too, but like, I would be willing to do something like that and get a nice, like a print of his face or something, and have him sign it or whatever, or have him sign something like, you know, a Transformers Prime little print or something like that, you know, something so that people can get a chance to kind of feel like they got a chance to get something from him without actually taking up his time like that. I don't know. It's one of those really weird things that you just wonder, you know, who, maybe this is something that it would be great. And I don't know if that'd be, there's a lot of little things that I wish that I could do, just like give like suggestions that aren't like, hey, I know that there's a lot of negative criticism out there about this, but have you ever thought about like maybe getting a group of fans like from different corners of the fandom and asking, what are some really like proactive suggestions that we can do to make it more enjoyable for fans? Because, hey, you know, it's something that, you know, if they really cared about it, that, you know, they could actually foster a little bit more enthusiasm and positivity for their convention if they, you know, kind of thought outside the box a little bit. I have quite a few suggestions that I would, you know, throw at them if I would feel like they would listen.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one of those. I'm not a typical fan. I've had even the staff of BotCon point this out almost every year that I've gone, and I've botched it up in a sense where I've gotten there a little bit late for the casino night, and usually they have dinner, and so I'll go run in there and get dinner. By then, my friends have already like congregated somewhere else, and they've already eaten. So I've gone in, I've grabbed a bite to eat real quick. The fan staff, or not the fan staff, the BotCon staff are usually still there eating. And for the last 3 years, I've actually sat down near or at their table and just hung out, not really talked a lot, but listened in. Yeah. And some people would say, well, you know, it's like you're spying. No, I just generally just kind of sitting down trying to get to know them. And every single time they say the same thing, you know, as the dinner finishes up and they kind of say, hey, you know, we've seen you around. You don't seem like the typical fan. You just don't seem like you belong here. And I'm like, I take this as a compliment, obviously, because, you know, I don't look like the typical fan. Sometimes I don't even act like it. I don't know. I don't cosplay like other people do. And when I'm there, I'm a very conservative person. So like I dress very conservatively and I just don't look like I belong there. And so I take it as a compliment and, you know, they don't mean it as an insult either. So, but you know, as a person that, cause I do other things. I'm like Transformers is not the only thing that I enjoy doing. I have other things I like doing. And as a person, I'd like to make a professional like entrance into that type of forum. I mean, I'd love to write comics. I'd love to write books. I'd love to do some of that stuff. I just haven't gotten it yet and I haven't done anything with it. But like, so the way I carry myself is always in a professional manner. So I think that kind of wears off on them. But as a person who does other things, and my whole life doesn't center around Transformers, although sometimes it does, I think I could provide a very interesting perspective that could help kind of band things together in a sense. I just haven't had the guts to go out there and say, okay, hey guys, Mr. Savage, and oh, I don't remember who the other guy is that runs, you know, BotCon. Would you be open to some suggestions on a very constructive sense? Because I could totally be that person. But
yeah, that's probably Pete Sinclair that you're thinking of.
Yeah, Mr. Sinclair, that's what it is, yeah.
All right, so we've veered off of
TFC. Yeah, I know, we have.
BotCon, but that's all right. We're going to take a quick break. Important.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I said it's all good stuff, right? It's all about conventions, right?
Yes, awesome. That's right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the Brits behind their backs.
Behind their backs.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
I think we've hit pretty much everything that has anything to do with the conventions, right?
Well, except for that crazy Brit convention.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Speaking of which, Auto Assembly.
Yes, Auto Assembly.
Well, this is the one you've been going to for the past 3 years, correct?
This is the one that I've been going to the longest because I went to Auto Assembly before I ever stepped foot in a BotCon or a TFCon or any other convention like a Comic-Con ever. I went to Auto Assembly, which the only reason why I did that is because I started podcasting and I knew so many people from that. I had so many people that I talked with that had glowing things to say about it. And I trusted the people that I was talking with, even though I'd never met them before. And I also was, Nicole also was a very big vehicle for getting me interested as well, because she had been there a couple times. And I thought, well, dang, if Nicole has gone over there as a single lady and she's had fun and a blast, these guys have got to be like the best ever. And they weren't kidding. Yes, my biggest thing with Auto Assembly, and I think this plays a big role into how much enjoyment I get out of it, is the fact that I do know quite a few people there. And every year that I've gone, I've met new people. And I've, like, the first year that was my first convention, every year after that, like, another thing that happened in the first year that I was there is that we had people, it's kind of funny, the English, when they realize that there's a Transformers convention going on, it's like handing a kid candy for the first time. Anybody that has ever, like, that I've run into, they're like, hey, what is this gathering? What are you guys doing here? You know, what's this convention that you're at? And we say, oh, it's a Transformers convention. They're like, really? I didn't know they had those. I like Transformers. It's like everybody that I've talked to that has not, that doesn't know what we're there for and that happens to just be walking along. The English are really good about that. I've not had the same reaction with other people. Like I haven't had that many people ask questions like, what is this convention here that you're doing? You know, they're just seem to be so communicative there and enthusiastic that it's kind of fun. That's one little thing about Auto Assembly that I like, the fact that people walking past that are just normals, normal people, happen to be really enthusiastic about it when they find out what it is. So it's pretty cool. Auto assembly, the other perk that I have is because I do the podcast, I think a lot of the people that run the convention know who I am. So I kind of get perks that other people probably don't get. I get a chance to go in and walk around the floor before the whole thing opens. I can go in and talk with anybody that any of the any of the guests, any of the special guests, any of the voice actors, that type of thing. And I don't abuse it. I'm really, really conscious about, like, they're also running something for fans, and they're not, you know, they want to be, they keep boundaries. They try to keep those boundaries and keep the space for, like, the voice actors and stuff. I'm not saying that, oh, everybody's just, like, in their room and, you know, we're having a party out there. Although it does happen. You get Scott McNeil there and, hey, we're going to party.
Yeah, you get Scott McNeil anywhere and, hey, we're going to party.
Very, very true. Very true. But, yeah, they're very professional. But I also get a chance to kind of get in there and have an opportunity to hang out with people that they don't necessarily let anybody off the street do. So, and I haven't gotten an official word. It's just like, it's just Amy. You can go in. It's just like, you know who you are. Just go in. You're all right. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, and I don't abuse it. So I'm very, very thankful that they allow that and they tolerate my being, oh, can I go in? It's really kind of fun. So, the good thing this year that they haven't done in past, well, they've done a few things in years past. But the biggest thing about Auto Assembly is that it's a fan run convention, and going there as a fan, hanging out with fans who are running the convention, who are also, you know, it's a fan run convention. It's fun. It's great fun, and everybody gets to geek out and be who they are. And one of the things that I think they really kind of have there as well is that the guests, like the voice actors, mm-hmm. they also, it's like they're one of the fans as well. They're talking about their passion about working on it. And like, there's this really, really cool energy there. There's a chemistry between like Dave Wallace for the last two years, or is it three? I don't remember. Has been the MC that kind of announces everything. And the chemistry between him and some of the voice actors have been very, really great. It's like they kind of were talking like they've been old friends for years, although it might be the first time that they've ever met like each other.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really kind of nice, it adds to the convention to be able to kind of have that energy. And I don't know if it's just Dave or if it's just something specific to Auto Assembly. But, you know, each convention will have something different about them. And that's one thing that I've noticed about Auto Assembly is there is this really, really great energy there in that regard. It's probably a combination of a couple of things, but it's really great. And that makes it feel very accessible. Everybody gets a chance. We're all in the same room, all of the voice actors, the dealer room, and the artist alley is also in one, all in the same room, and it's a huge room. And I think the reason why they're able to do that is because it hasn't gotten too huge, although they are getting there where it's getting like way, way big. And they might, you know, I don't know if it'll be like that forever, but that's what the way that they've kind of handled it. I think this last year they said they had over 800, a little over 800, maybe 833. It's their biggest by far that they've had in years before. I don't know if they advertise in the general area. I don't think I've heard anybody say that they do, but a lot of the people that actually are on the staff that are on the inner council, in a sense, or what, I can't remember what they call it. I'm not saying it right now, but they are locals or people that have been going to convention for the convention for a while. And so it's run by fans. And the guy that actually runs the show has kind of like delegated certain things to the staff and there are certain staff members that are like, you know, part of the group that, you know, controls the whole thing. I'm just there as a fan. I don't have any clout other than the fact that I can give suggestions when they ask, but that's about it. And that's all I've really done in the past. I've had a few people say, "Hey, who would you recommend for a comic person?" I'm like, "Well, this are coming up, so maybe you might want to get on the in on getting these people soon." But that's about it. I don't really, you know, I don't say you have to get this person because this person is the best and blah. It's like it just, you know, I give suggestions, but it's up to them to do whatever they want. But yeah, and it's just they. Also in this situation, they have a bar in the hotel. It's about the same setup as they did at TFCon. You don't have to, when I fly there, I fly directly to the city, and the city, the international airport that they have is like right next to the hotel. So I don't even have to get a car. I pretty much walk from the airport to the hotel. That's how close it is.
Sweet.
And it's just really great. And, let's see what else. The hotel is great. I wouldn't say this is the third year I think that they've been at this hotel. The first year they had it someplace. Actually, I take that back. This is the second. Last year was the first. They're still kind of building that relationship with the hotel, and there were a few hiccups this last.
Uh-oh, I lost you.
Checking it out. Dang. They're.
I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. Damn. There were a few hiccups with the hotel this year, and it's not a perfect science. Like they're building that type of relationship there. I think it might take a couple years to actually, you know, build something like that. But for the most part, you know, I didn't really have any problems with the staff. They were mostly polite and really great, and all that English, you know, hospitality. I didn't feel neglected in any way. I heard a few mumblings of other things, but it really didn't bother me the way that it bothered other people. Let's see what else. I'm more likely to see people at the bar that are like voice actors or guests than I have in other places. They just tend to kind of ask that of the guests, that hey, if you come, feel free to go and mingle at the bar. There are lots of fans. I have seen it abused a little bit in the past with some people, and not because of the convention, but like specific fans that I've learned who their faces are. I know who they are, and sometimes they can push a little bit too close to the edge. They hog a few of the voice actors a little too much.
Yeah,
which can happen. I mean, that is understandable. There are some situations where it gets a little too off, but with AutoAssembly, they do have like a specific staff member that's usually assigned to each of the voice actors. So if they kind of see that there's a problem, they can intervene and have an intervention. That does, you know, I think they have had to use that in the past. And the specific voice actor that it happened to was really cool about it, and so it was handled fairly well. But it, you know, it does happen, and that's always, I think, a danger whenever you have like a celebrity and fans get together. Some just don't know boundaries, and that happens. let's see. I'm trying to think about if there was anything else. This last year. One of the things that we did that was different is that we played Cards Against Humanity. Now, any geek out there that's ever played this game will know exactly what it is. I've never played it before, so this was my first year doing that, and I had a blast. We did it in the bar after the convention was over with, so it's definitely not a convention-sanctioned activity. It was just one of the guys that I knew brought it with him, and we just hung out and played it, and it was good fun. But in the past that they've had like different things, like the first year I went there, they had like a Connect Four kind of game show off, you know, SmackDown that happened.
Right.
And every year they've tried to kind of make it work. And so every year it might be a little bit different. I've already heard mumblings of people saying that they might be doing, a Jenga one next year, seeing how there was kind of a Jenga-esque panel in one of the recent books of More Than Meets the Eye. So maybe that'll be a sticking point. We'll see what happens. But, you know, fans, we kind of goof off and we get, you know, we can cause a little bit of trouble sometimes.
I'm sure.
Like little angels or little devils sometimes. So the auto assembly at the hotel seems to handle it fairly well. They're very patient with us. that's pretty much it. I highly recommend the big English breakfast if you go to auto assembly, because you can't go to England and not have one of their famous, infamous English breakfasts. It's really good there. I love their food.
All right.
Trying to think if there's anything else. I feel like I'm not really selling it.
Were there any panels? Did you go to any of the panels?
They have panels. They do have some smaller ones. Kind of. They have like an artist. In the past, they've asked like some of the artists, like usually one or two, to kind of do like an artist panel or a little, like a workshop. And they don't do that in the main hall. They actually do that in one of the smaller rooms outside, because not everybody goes to those. Although there are quite a few people that are huge fans. All of the artists that came this year, from what I was told, did really well, in the sense of they, like, because there were so many fans that have loved their work for so long. To have them over this year was a great sell for them. They were able to get quite a few people, like commissions and whatnot, that were just, because there were just so many people that wanted to get stuff from the artists. So having artists there is kind of a big draw. There seems to be a lot of love for the comics in the UK area. They did do a game. It was guests versus fans. Which is our creators versus fans, but you know, they get some of the fans that are like fans that have been fans for quite a long while. I was actually asked this year to be on that, and I went up against Alex Milne, which I lost, as I should have, because he's awesome. We went movieverse head to head. Oh yeah, he totally killed me.
Oh, wow.
Actually, we did pretty good for a while, and then they started. We exhausted all their movie questions, and then they came out with the other questions, and Alex just blew me out of the water. I was like, oh, you don't go up against a bear, you really don't. Oh, it was a blast. But this year, let's see, Chris McFeely is usually on it every year because like he's awesome. And seeing Chris McFeely up against James Roberts is always a fun thing to kind of watch. It's great. But let's see who else was on it. They had all of the artists that were there. They had Andrew Griffith, Alex Milne, Nick Roach, and James Roberts. James Roberts was also at TFCon this year. I didn't put that in there, but I want to put it in there right now because I got a chance to hang out with him a little bit at TFCon. But yeah, they did, and they've done it every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I think, having the fans against the creators. And it's neck and neck. They do pretty good. They, you know, seeing the artists and the you know, James, who's one of the writers, kind of go neck and neck with fans is very reassuring. They really know their stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
You kind of have to. But this year they had this little kid. He had to have been about 12, 13 years old. And let's see, I was on the team. Chris was on the team. One of the other guys that I've gotten to know through one of the forums was on the team. And then they asked this little kid. Now, the reason why they did is because every single panel they had, this kid was raising his hand and asking these really in-depth questions. And it really got the attention of all of us who've been at the convention for a couple of years and go like, whoa, who's this kid? What is he asking? And, you know, because the chemistry is really great. And Dave, who's running the, you know, he introduces everybody and he kind of runs the show in the sense that he's kind of the voice that kind of announces everything, right, and talks to the voice actors and whatnot. he kind of, you know, started talking to this kid a little bit before that. So found out that this kid has read everything Transformers Marvel since he was little. And we're like, the consensus that was going around some of us that were kind of, you know, like impressed with this kid was like, dude, it's like James Roberts, except like 20 years ago, right? 30 years. Well, you know, when he was a little kid, it's like, it's the new embodiment. This is the next James Roberts right here. So they had this kid on there, and I was just amazed at the amount of knowledge that was in this kid's head. It's like, it's a combination between what you'd expect James Roberts and Chris McFeely to be at that age, you know?
Oh,
so
wow.
His name is Jack, and I hope that he comes back next year, because he was an incredible addition to the whole experience of auto assembly this last year. And his parents were there, so it wasn't like he was there by himself. And they like, you know, encouraging. And we were like, okay, well, we'll keep boundaries, but kid, you're pretty awesome. I shake your hand. So that was really cool. He went head-to-head with James Roberts. It was great.
Wow. Sounds like it's pretty awesome.
It was. It was a great experience. And again, like I said, I hope Jack comes back. It'll be really cool if... you know, to see him grow up every year, if he comes back to auto assembly, like going, dude, you know, see him go through puberty and, you know, oh, it'd be great. It'd be like, oh, he's like the convention mascot. If I had any say, I'd say like, oh, please come back every year. We'll see. It was really cute to see a kid there that was doing that. So
yeah,
it's
awesome.
The whole point. I mean, this is a Transformers is a lot of adults enjoy it, but it is in the end, you know, it's a toy company that is for kids. And, you know, it's just really great when you actually see the embodiment of what that is in a kid that's that age that it's for. So it was really cool to see that.
Very awesome. Very awesome. All right, so in total, I'm just guesstimating. You spent a lot of money.
I did.
Going to these three conventions. And is it something you're going to want to do next year? Are you going to want to do the trifecta again? I mean, you know, throughout the whole episode, you said you had a blast at each one, but I mean... What do you want to do for 2014 convention season?
I would love to do the whole trifecta again. And the only reason why I would is because I suspect that BotCon is going to be in California again this next year because it's a movie year. I don't know that for sure, and I know there are a lot of they could very easily do it, and it's very likely that they will because it is a movie year, and I'm sure that Hasbro is going to want to, you know, pimp out the next movie, and the best way to do that is at a convention, right? Fans excited for it because, you know, I'm sure they'll be excited for it because it'll be close to coming out at that point, and that'll be great. And I want to do that because of that. I would really love to go and do the whole thing all over again next year, but at this point in time, I can't really say that I can. I would probably be able to predict that a little bit better, like, you know, a couple months from now when I find out where BotCon is going to be specifically.
Yeah.
And at what time of the year it's going to be. And, you know, there's a few factors that kind of go into that. I would definitely do it again. I don't know if I want to do it like that every year, though. That's the thing, is that the only reason why I got to go to TFCon was because my husband had flight miles that, because his job that he works for, he goes to California at least maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. So he's building up like airplane miles. And I flew specifically into Buffalo. I think it was Buffalo. Either Buffalo or Batavia. I think it was one of those two. In New York, because Southwest was flying to there. And so I basically paid for that whole thing for like $7 because we built up Sky Miles. And so that was good, you know, so I didn't have to pay the flight that went to TFCon. I really didn't because of that. If I go, now that I've done it once, I'm like, oh, now I see how easy it is to do. I might, in fact, just fly in somewhere where I know one of my friends is and drive up with them. Or I might fly in there and rent a car myself. And anybody that's going to be flying at the same time, I'll just take them up so that nobody else has to, you know, do that. And that's a cost. That's a cost that's involved. In terms of how much, which convention I spent the most at would have to be Auto Assembly, because flying over that pond is a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of dough.
And I've done it for the last 4 years because I really enjoy going there. But I also am, people know who I am there. When I go there, the first time I went there, I had a blast. I had somebody make my convention. The guy that got me into podcasting, Dave Wallace, he sat me down in a room with Nick Roach, Derek J. Wyatt, and James Roberts. And I was just like, it made my convention. It was like the first convention that I had ever been to. And, you know, he sat me down with three people that are just amazing in their own respectful, you know, careers. They've just been great. And just to sit in the same room and be like, you know, I could just, you know, sit right next to them. It was just like, wow, I totally had my fan moment. I was like quiet as a mouse, but I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm in the same room with these people. But, you know, ever since then, when I go to Auto Assembly, there's usually somebody else where I try to make their convention the same way. This right. year, there were two or three people that I met for the first time that this was their first convention, and they'd never been there before, and kind of latched onto them and showed them the ropes and, you know, gave them a few free things. And I made their convention because of that. They said, oh, you've made my convention. I'm like, definitely going to come back next year because of this. And, you know, and they've contacted me on Twitter and said that it was the best time they had. And thank you. And so I tried to do that for other people, but I like Auto Assembly for that. It's something that I don't get anywhere else, that I haven't noticed that I get anywhere else. And it's good because I have the in there. People all know who I am. I can parade around and act like I know what I'm doing. and so, you know, it's being around those type of fans that make a convention for me. And so because of that, I'll probably go back to Auto Assembly. TFCon, I'm still building my bridges there. I wouldn't say that it's never going to happen, but I'm just one of those people that people like to listen to what I have to say. And, you know, I'm enthusiastic about things and people like that. And I think it just takes a little bit of time to build those relationships. I don't know if that'll ever happen with BotCon. They're a hard egg to crack. I think that I could probably crack TFCon. But I'm not trying to make it my goal. I mean, if I do that, great. But like, I'm not going to be, you know, a jerk about it, and I'm not going to expect it. But you know, I like doing that because I like meeting people and I like getting to know who they are. And I the one thing that I've done after this traveling that I've done just to conventions is that I've really enjoyed getting to know people. And so I'm not like, you know, I'm not the biggest prolific person. I'm not anybody important other than I run a podcast and people seem to like it. I get around and I like to talk to people and stuff like that. And I just hope that I can continue to do that. And that's really what I plan to do when I go out to conventions, is to hang out with fans, maybe sell a few t-shirts, 'cause I do that too. And hang out with people that like Transformers and, you know, shoot the breeze. That's what I like to do.
Awesome. So it sounds like it was an overall good convention season this year.
Definitely a good convention. Yeah.
All right. So where can people get Wreck and Rule?
Where can they get my Wreck and Rule shirts? Well, you can go to Etsy to Wrecked Apparel, because that's where I have them up. I'm getting ready in the next 2 or 3 weeks to put in another shirt order. So if anybody's out there that wants a specific one and I don't have it up for sale now, go and go check out my Etsy shop, Wrecked Apparel, and you can find, or you can type in Wrecker, or you just do a search and you can find it. But you can also find me on Twitter, where I tweet about it at least once a week, and on Facebook, where I also do that too. So Facebook is Lady Wreck. It's a Facebook page. And on Twitter, it's Lady of Wreck. And I put stuff out there all the time, and you can sign up for a shirt, and then I'll email you personally when the order is here, and then that way you can go and buy away and get your special shirt of Wreck and Rule. So
very awesome. Yeah. Very awesome. Yeah. All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of All Things Transformers. Transform, roll out, unleash the beast in you, all that good stuff.
Yes.
I don't know.
Till all are one, right?
Yes, there you go. Till all are one. That's what we're closing the show
with. Oh, Rodimus.
We will catch you next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Till all are one.
Struggle through the whole universe, robotic warrior.